How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
On your career, I nearly played the wrong sting. It was awful.
I thought I got out of my work today.
No, you didn't. You just thought you'd have to talk about another subject and you didn't even know what.
Hey, I'd have winged it, you know.
Yeah, I know you would have. That's a funny thing. We should do that one day. Just mix everybody's up and let's see. Let's see what happens. Anyway,
my friend,
how are you?
Watch it.
Oh, you know, so firstly, I didn't want to watch it. And then people kept messaging me saying what channels are on. And then I felt bad. So I thought, all right, I better watch it. So, and then sorry, say again.
I said you got guilted into watching Sonar.
I did. And then I was disappointed because I found it depressing, quite honestly. It was more predictable than wrestling. We knew exactly what was going to happen. But I just found the EFF boring. Uninspiring.
Did you watch the whole thing? I mean, did you stick it out?
I did stick it out.
You stuck it out. But you must be as exhausted as I am this morning.
For sure.
So I mean, the adrenaline rush for the first hour and the level of irritation. I was so irritated.
So that was me. Like, I was so mad.
We're in a time warp. Didn't we do this when Zuma was in power?
Yeah, and the point is now that it was so premeditated. They decided that they were going to do this. You know, the country is in dire straits. We are desperate for answers. We are desperate for solutions. We are not desperate for the antics of childish, attention-seeking idiots. I'm sorry.
Absolute school ground, Howard, you know, and I said it on social media this morning. I mean, the de Klerk stint. I mean, did de Klerk, was it the first time de Klerk came to Sonar, Julius, while you've been in the room?
Yeah, well,
the first time that you worked out, he was part of apartheid. Like, honestly, you know, it was about his interview earlier in the week. Okay, didn't you know the guy who was in charge before?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so you were happy to sit with him? For I don't know how many Sonars before that, okay? Now today, because you have an agenda, you walk in and hoy it at de Klerk. And I must be honest, and I'm sure I'm in isolation here, but if I was de Klerk, I would have left. I'd have done the honorable thing and left.
So I was thinking exactly that. I was thinking, in fact, it would have been brilliant if he did.
I'm going.
If he got up and walked out, the EFF would have been in serious trouble because if he did that, then they've now played the card. Now they've got
to hit Praveen Gordhan, which is what they said they were coming for.
Exactly. But somebody made a statement. If he goes, then, you know, then we'll keep quiet. But, so they would have snookered themselves, but I think it would have been mortifying for de Klerk. And I'm not a de Klerk fan. I was telling our listeners earlier when I was at varsity, he was the Minister of Education. We hated the guy. We absolutely hated him.
And you and I are the same age.
Sorry, say again.
We despised him. Despised him. We're the same age and we despised him.
Absolutely.
Despised him.
He was public enemy number one, but the point is that he was deputy president under Nelson Mandela. Whether we like this or not, he has been to countless sonars before. Yeah. So what are we talking about? It was just attention seeking. And can you see what's happened is for the first 5 minutes of this, instead of talking about the issues around the country and what are we going to, and what is going to be done about it, what do we talk about is the EFF's behavior.
And so he got exactly what he came to get, Julius Malema, as a master politician, which he is, like him or hate him. He got exactly what he wanted. He disrupted the cabinet, the parliamentary session. But on top of that, what he has done is he's now said the ANC thinks it's okay for de Klerk to say what he said. You know, so now the ANC on the back foot again with this racism story. I mean, oh really, guys? Zanati, aren't you tired?
Yes. I was shouting at Zanati earlier as though it was her fault. And you know why? Because she's wearing a red jersey today.
Oh, wow.
It's not because of Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. Don't get the two things mixed up.
You're right.
No, but I was saying, I mean, I do not like de Klerk. I don't even know why we've entertained him for this long. Exactly. And why we're still giving him a platform to comment on the country's matters under a democratic government. But I mean, the AFF has had plenty of time to actually have a constructive conversation about this. Sona was not the place.
Yeah, it was. It was all deliberate. And, Moshe is saying, why are you guys giving EFF so much publicity and airtime? That's exactly what they crave. I know that, Moshe, but unfortunately you can't ignore. And this is the dilemma that we have. In fact, there was an interview that was doing the rounds on social media earlier this week with Julius Malema on TV talking about Investec. And, he was talking about Stephen Kosoff, who's, obviously a well-known member of the Jewish community and, headed up Investec, but he called his name wrong. It was Kosheff, and everybody kept saying, well, Howard, why aren't you playing this on Chai? And I said, because I'm not Julius Malema's PR. I won't play it. I think it's absolutely appalling. It is race baiting in all sorts of ways. I'm not going to be the one to play it. Let him hire his own PR firm.
Absolutely, absolutely. Look, we had some funny moments and some interesting moments in social media, and to the listener that we spoke to, I'm sorry that we have to speak about Julius Malema today when we should be focusing on the real issues of our country. But unfortunately, from a statistical perspective, it is blanketed across social media. 490,000 unique items in a 24-hour period. And it is all focused on the Red Berets, sadly, very sadly.
Wow.
I mean, Buthelezi came out, Trump's, well, maybe that's not the right word. Buthelezi came out on top with the way he spoke.
Real dignity.
And the way he tried
absolutely
to order to the heart. Yeah, the only one with a bit of dignity, I must be honest. And then, of course, we had our perfect wedding moment. I mean, did you see that guy?
That was wonderful. Oh, that was too wonderful.
I love that. I love that. And the guy behind him sleeping, who woke up in the middle of the speech.
And the people were tired. We were saying by the time it got started, I think people were very tired. Like it was just...
I was tired. I was keeping my eyes open with my hands, man. But then Ramaphosa finally, and you know, when the Madam Speaker adjourned, I thought we were done. That is not how you deal with the EFF, woman. Yeah. And then Peter should give you some lessons.
Although I thought she was brilliant. I thought she was absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
Outstanding. And a real mother. You could see your...
Yeah.
She's going to come out just now. Let me run to the corner.
I thought she was brilliant. And the guy next to her, we were saying, I said a little bit earlier to our listeners, I thought he was the sign language translator because just with his face, you could see everything that was happening with his facial expressions.
But Howard, you and I are notorious for watching those sign language translators. Did you see that one last night? She had to be replaced. She was exhausted.
It's a proper workout. Oh, that's funny.
I couldn't half the head a new lady. She just couldn't anymore.
Yeah, I thought that was very funny.
Anyway, when Ramaphosa did finally speak, my word, did he bring it home.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was awesome.
So I thought he was great.
It's new universities, TVET colleges, coding in grade 3. Like, I thought he brought it home.
I love that part of it. The coding, the education. I thought that was very, very powerful. I think what he said was great, actually. What I kept thinking the whole way through is, okay, this is, sounds good, but we need action.
I agree with you. And I think his admissions, that's what I really enjoyed about his speech, was there was no pomp and circumstances time. You know, he always fell to the poem and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
He didn't do that this time. He got right down to business. And within that, he admitted, we cannot do this alone. I'm struggling. He actually, if you read the subtext, it says, I'm struggling and I need the country to drop this racist rubbish, jump on a bandwagon and push with me.
Yeah.
You know, that was the message loud and clear, like if you were really listening. And even the opposition parties gave him resounding applause, you know. So he really did pull it back. But my goodness, am I tired this morning, Mr. President.
Yeah, I've got the transcript here, and he says now 30 years later we continue, he says, as we confront great challenges, as we endure troubled times, we cannot allow fear to stand in our way. We must forge ahead, permitting neither adversity nor doubt to divert us. And I thought that he was very, very real, which is what I liked about it.
Yeah, honest. It felt honest to me anyway. So I'm really, I feel absolutely rejuvenated after that.
Well, sorry, I just want to read you this line. This was the paragraph I thought that was the most valuable to me. There are times when we have fallen short. There are times when we have made mistakes, but we remain unwavering in our determination to build a society that is free and equal and at peace. And I think that is very mature in terms of a political party.
I agree. I absolutely agree. So as for the rest of the week, Howard, that's really been the focal story, and we've done analytics on that. That came out with a balanced sentiment at the end. You had 27% negative and 16% positive, so about minus 9%. So not too bad for the state it was in. And of course, the biggest words coming out there that are negative is Pravin must fall, de Klerk must go, etc. EFF one way, etc. The heat map on the timeline that I've shown you shows that the whole country was watching last night. And those are from a statistical point of view, so you can pick those up on the timeline. But as for the rest of the week, Miss Universe came home. Isn't she beautiful?
Oh, huge fan. And I've forgotten the whole thing about Miss South Africa, Miss Universe, over the last couple of years. She's made it relevant again somehow.
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know how, but it actually is relevant again. Yeah, I thought that last night. I thought, sure, why am I so inanimate with her? This is a Miss Universe rubbish thing, man.
Exactly. But it just shows you.
Some special magic.
She does. Although we're saying we felt very sorry for her as well last night, because she was also exhausted. By the time she had to stand up there, the woman was finished.
She was just. And then, of course, Eskom tried to push through a rate hike, and Katsavelo's sentence was delayed. And he had a whole bunch of supporters in the room from where he's been doing community work in with the prisons. That are black people. So maybe there's hope for him yet. You don't know. I don't know.
You know, it's actually interesting. I was thinking about that yesterday, because there was a lot of publicity around that he really does seem to be trying.
Alhamdulillah.
Say again? Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know.
Like, it's damage is too deep, man. The damage is too deep.
Probably. What were the other big stories?
And of course, we had the fatal train crash. That was hectic. And then there was the story about a pupil stabbing another pupil in the school, and she died. Or he died.
Yeah. What were all the stories? We were following all of the, there was terrible stories around student deaths.
Yeah. There was one that fell from the third floor of a high school. And then it's too many actually to even remember.
Not even newsworthy. And that's what's so scary, is like this, it's becoming like all the other crime in our country. It's just another number. So that's worrying. Mm. And then the men's conference. How do you feel about it?
Yeah.
Actually, how, let me ask the next.
Is there another, another edition of the, well, I mean, I don't even care, because I mean, it's not like there's a man in my life who's going or not going. You know what I mean? Like, it's, so I don't really care about it.
I must be honest. For me, the humor is gone. I don't know. And maybe it's because of the gender violence. I'm just like, oh, you're running away yet again. And I know it's a money-making racket, guys. We will get that. But here's the secret. We just want to be treated well every day.
Well, 100%. You know, I actually am not sure. I mean, and I'm a strong believer in using humor to address a lot of issues. But I'm not sure that this issue is one that actually calls for it. Men have got to stop being abusive. We've got to educate our children properly. I don't think there's anything funny in it, actually.
is, you know, a woman last night started calling Valentine's Day the picky picky challenge. And quite right. We're not interested in your picky picky challenge or the men's conference. I must be honest. Like, yeah. I don't find either of them entertaining or funny. But that's probably because I've been reading these horror stories and I'm quite grumpy.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree with you. And in fact, Chai FM is getting behind an initiative with a company called Synthesis, where I mean, it's probably a bit too early to talk about it, but it's going to take place over the next few weeks, where the company is, it's a tech company that I'm involved with, and they are involved in tech in the financial sectors, etc. But they're having a hackathon, and which is a 24 hours where the guys and the girl, everyone gets together and they try and create solutions, and they build these solutions. And one of the main focuses is using technology to try and find a solution towards gender-based violence. And that's really what it needs to be, is we need to get every element of industry, of commerce, of society involved in trying to solve this problem, making women safer wherever they are, because it is absolutely, absolutely appalling.
Oh, it's appalling. It's appalling. So, yeah, no men's conferences for us today.
Yeah,
sorry.
I agree.
The saddest news of the week, though, Howard, is the death of Joseph Shabalala. Mm. And the tribute is so beautiful. I mean, Nando's put out one that said homeless, that but the letters had been crossed out, so it looked like home.
That was brilliant.
And like, oh, as I say it, the hair rises on my arms. Mm. And then the coronavirus apparently will be done by April. That's what they're saying. The World Health Organization. And then they're saying a vaccine will be ready in 18 months. They found a cure.
Okay, well, that sounds logical to me, right? Okay,
so firstly, by April, it's all going to calm down, right? And then they found the cure, but it's going to take 18 months to get to market. Now, I don't understand. Firstly, you've got a cruise ship of holidaymakers waiting to die, okay? Sitting on the edge of Japan, waiting to die. Can you imagine that horror story?
Terrible.
Right? You've got this virus that's spreading like wildfire, and we've got the cure, guys. We got it. Yeah. We can put up two hospitals in 6 days, but we can't roll out this cure. But don't worry, it'll slow down in April anyway. Well, what's going to happen? Are we going to find that death will fix us this one too?
Yeah. Or everyone's just going to be dead. I don't know. It is very, I'm not believing anything that I'm hearing in terms of the numbers around. Nothing makes sense.
Ridiculous, Howard. 500 and something. What are you talking about, dude?
Yeah.
Like, social media will balance you so quickly. This thing is all over the place and people are dropping like flies.
There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that we have no idea as to the real magnitude of this. All of a sudden yesterday, was it yesterday, Zanati, where the numbers jumped to a ridiculous thing? Because they said, oh, no, they've now, they've got a new way of defining, testing it or something. And all of a sudden the numbers jumped another, I don't know, 20,000 or something. It's absolutely ridiculous. And unfortunately, Tony Curry, we are out of time. We are going to have to leave it there. We'll catch you same time, same place next week. It is 8:29. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.